All right, good morning. We're so glad to be here this morning, and I know that we've had the chance over the last week or so to be able to catch up with most of you, and we've had the opportunity to sort of give you some update of some of the things that have gone on in the last couple years in our lives. We purposely came back to the States in time enough to be part of the VBS. We want our kids to be part of that. We wanted to participate in that ourselves, and so we're just so glad that we don't have to rush a little update this morning. So some of the things that you may see in the video may be redundant for some of you, but there's some things in particular that I want you to know that the video will do, and that'll show you some of the faces of the folks that have been saved over the last several years there in Italy, and those of you that have been to Italy, some have made the missions trip here. Of course, the Kihiwats were there. Brother David and Sister Rebecca were there last year for our revival meeting in Italy. And so they're familiar with these folks. And we wanted to do that and share that with you. So we're going to go into the video. There's a couple of spots where it crackles and things. That's nothing wrong with it. It's just we'll overlook that. And then I'll take probably some questions. And then we'll give you a little bit more of an update after that. All right?
Can you imagine living in total darkness? A darkness where you only see a little light? A world where the lights are few and distant? This is the spiritual condition where we live, but God has called us to be lights in the darkness, reflections of that true light which is Jesus Christ our Lord. We are the Maietas, and God called us to bring that light to Italy. Since 2006, we have had the privilege of ministering in this country of spiritual darkness, and we rejoice having seen the light of the glorious gospel shine forth in the lives of those who have believed. That you may rejoice with us, and in thanks for your faithful support, we'd like to share with you how the light of Jesus Christ has pierced the darkness in Grosseto, Italy. Long before we ever arrived in Italy, God had been laying the groundwork for what He would call us to do. I was born in 1973, the son of Italian immigrants. Though my parents were raised Catholic, they had accepted Christ through the door-to-door witnessing of a young man named Paul Volle in 1969, who, by the way, later went on to serve as a missionary for 35 years in Italy. As a result, I was reared in a Christian home and came to know the Lord as my Savior at a young age. In 1986, my family moved back to Italy, and I attended junior high school in Grosseto. Though unaware of God's providential hand at the time, God was preparing me by teaching me the language, giving me dual citizenship, and carving out a place in my heart for this needy city. Jenny was born into a loving Christian home and also was saved at an early age. Jenny's parents have served the Lord faithfully in music ministries, teaching, and assistant pastor positions over the past 40 years. This upbringing, along with years of music training, equipped her for the ministry in which we now serve in Italy. Italy, the fourth most visited country in the world, is clearly one of the preferred destinations of world travelers. People from all over are drawn to Italy for its nearly 5,000 miles of Mediterranean coastline, the majesty of its alpine mountain ranges, the history of the ancient Roman ruins and medieval structures, Italy's amazing cultural wealth in its music, religious ties to the Vatican, renowned writers, scientists, engineers, artists, athletes, and designers all contribute to the patrimony that makes Italy such an admired land. Not to mention the high quality of its agriculture and cuisine that is world famous. In the midst of all this glamour, there remains one regrettable fact: spiritual darkness. 60 million people, the equivalent of the entire population of the United States west of the Mississippi River, excluding Texas and California, reside in a landmass the size of Arizona, and there is an astonishing lack of gospel witness. Roman Catholicism has a death grip on the country, with a church in every neighborhood. Despite the separation of church and state, Roman Catholicism is the only represented religion in the public school classroom. Cults such as the Watchtower Society, Mormonism, and Seventh-day Adventism systematically and ardently canvass the city's mailboxes and doors. Islam is on the rapid rise because of immigration from countries such as Albania, Tunisia, Morocco, Libya, Senegal, and others. Social ills common in any country today, such as materialism, alcoholism, homosexuality, addiction, prostitution, pornography, violence, etc., are all on the rise. Unfortunately, there are probably as few as 10 Bible-believing Italian churches, including ours, that are piercing the darkness in this needy country. Since moving back to Italy in 1986, my mother had been praying for a sound church to be planted in Grosseto and had been faithfully sowing the seed of the gospel in her area. When we arrived in late 2006, we found a nucleus of believers who had either been won to Christ by her or who had been saved prior and then brought into contact with Mrs. Maiera. With an initial group of approximately 15 people, we immediately began conducting weekly meetings in our home. The Lord used us to bring other folks to a saving knowledge of Christ during our first year there. Fulfilling the Great Commission leads to planting local churches. And so very soon we began consulting with our sending church about officially constituting this nucleus of believers into a New Testament local church. Through many answered prayers, numerous needful preparations were being carried out, such as legal residence and language training for Jenny, Sunday school and evangelistic materials gathered, developed, and translated, proper translation of a good Bible-based constitution, bylaws, and church covenant, baptism of several new believers. A charter service for the Biblical Baptist Church of Grosseto, Italy, was scheduled for May 18, 2008, to coincide with a mission team's visit from our sending church. Excitement and thorough preparation occupied the week following the baptismal service as we anticipated the charter service marking the birth of this New Testament local church. When Sunday morning arrived, our living room was comfortably filled with approximately 20 folks, 8 of whom would become the charter members of the church. After the normal preliminaries, I had the privilege of preaching a charge to the congregation. Then Luca, one of the first fruits of the ministry in Grosseto, read the new church covenant aloud. There was a holy hush as 8 believers, a few of which had been baptized the week before, quietly stood up, stepped forward, and signed their names to the church covenant. Frank Camp, the pastor of our sending church, concluded the service with a prayer of dedication over the new church. What a heartwarming privilege it was to watch the Biblical Baptist Church of Grosseto, Italy, birthed before our very eyes. A genuine sense of unity, identity, purpose, and the presence of the Lord marked that service and the time of fellowship that followed. After all, didn't the Lord of all New Testament local churches promise, "Where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them"? With the church planted, it became evident that our focus needed to be on the long-term development for future ministry. The Lord not only provided an excellent facility for us to rent in a prime location, but also has provided co-workers for us. The arrival of the Paul Childers family to assist us has been key to the growth of the church. God has also added veteran missionary Larry Peary to our team. Along with these co-laborers and their families, the church in Grosseto has seen a thoroughly developed Sunday school program, children's meetings, vacation Bible school, youth activities, Christmas programs, hosting missions trips, mass tract distribution, free gospel literature table in the city center, evangelism in the earthquake-ravaged town of Aquila, evangelistic Bible studies, a thriving music ministry, training of Sunday school teachers, outreach in a nearby town called Tat, evangelistic meeting held in Vicenza, Italy. The highlight of our outreach efforts to this point was our first evangelistic meeting with Dwight and Amber Smith, where an unprecedented 85 people attended the final night of the meeting, and at least 8 precious souls made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, along with several others coming for assurance. Please pray for the protection and growth of these new believers. Galeano, Santina, Evelina, Joe James, Christina, Alina, Giuliano, Louis, and Angela. Please pray also for these who have shown interest but are yet to receive Christ: Fabrizio, Alessandra, and Nicole. We and the membership of the Biblical Baptist Church of Grosseto say, to God be the glory, great things He has done. He is the builder of His churches, and we've simply been privileged to watch Him do it again. We have come to realize that the harvest in Italy is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Our goals for the future are to assist the church in planting other churches in Italy and in regions beyond. Please pray for laborers to be raised up from within Italy and for others to join us in the harvest field so that many more souls can be saved. To our supporting churches and faithful prayer partners, we acknowledge that these precious souls are fruit abounding to your account. And as exciting as all of this is, we believe the best days are yet to come for our family and the Biblical Baptist Church in Grosseto, Italy. God sent His light into the world, and we are endeavoring to let that light shine forth into darkness. Can you imagine living in darkness? Send the light. Be a light. Together, we can bring the gospel of Jesus Christ, the light of the world, to pierce the darkness of Italy.
Rather move that out of the way so that I could stand right here. All right. And if this doesn't work out, we'll figure something else out. Okay. Now, obviously, the video was made before David and Rebecca came. And, of course, that was our first evangelistic meeting. A terrific story about how that started. I wasn't sure that the evangelist and interpretation was going to work. I didn't think it was going to be as well received. I wasn't very confident in my abilities to interpret. I knew that they would have terrific messages that we would want to be heard. I didn't know how that was going to come across, but the Lord used Brother Dwight to really kind of kick us out of the nest and take the next step for the Lord there in the ministry, and He helped us. He kind of forced us to get a meeting started, and I'm so glad that He did. We had been wanting Brother Dave to come and have an evangelistic meeting there because many of you may know that Brother Dave accepted Christ while he was in Pisa, Italy, in the military. And so we wanted to have the Kihiwats come for many years. Brother Dwight kind of pushed me along the way to get that thing started, and I'm so thankful that we did. I want to say another lady was saved. Some of you may know, when I came here in October of 2011, I brought Luca with me. Luca was the man that prayed, or he was the first one to sign the charter service, sign the church covenant, and he was with me in 2011. Well, just a couple of months later, when we had the evangelistic meeting with David, his mother, Luca's mother, got saved, and she is one of the greatest encouragements in the ministry there in Italy. So, it's been a blessing. Since then, we've had also Brother Jake DeAndrea, and we're looking forward to having Brother Dwight again this year and hopefully scheduling Brother Dave again soon with the rest of the family this time. Are there any particular questions while the video on the faces is fresh in your mind? I'd like to take this time to do that, and then I'll share some other things to answer any questions if you have any. Yes, sir. What exactly do you mean by that? Want to answer? Okay, sort of the difference between the churches out there? Well, the churches that we are associated with the other missionaries that we know, really are just smaller versions of the same thing we have here. That's our goal. Not to make American churches in Italy, but when you're preaching the Word of God, there's not going to be too much of a difference in the Christian fellowship that you have in a, you know, in a modern country like Italy. The people are the same. Sure, there are different cultural aspects to the country, but the churches themselves tend to be very similar as far as, you know, doctrine and practice and everything else. So it wouldn't be that much of a difference if you went to a church in Italy. I know Brother Dave maybe could attest to that. Of course, there's a different culture, but the churches themselves just a smaller version of what we have here. Of course, because we are in a modern country, we're not dealing with other aspects. Like in Pohnpei, that you would have different kind of building structures and different kind of, you know, cuisine and you know, a lot of those, the climate and so on. So our churches out there are the same really as here. Of course, the major difference is that there are far fewer. There are just maybe a dozen independent Baptist missionaries that we know of in Italy. Our greatest burden is the fact that I don't know of one Italian independent Baptist pastor. I don't know of one Italian fundamental pastor of any denomination. I know of Italian Pentecostal pastors and apostolic pastors. That is our goal. Our goal is not only to get churches planted, but to get the leadership established in the churches. And we have, the Lord has blessed us with some men in our church that are actually able to preach. Giuliano is one of them. He is speaking next Sunday morning. Giuliano was the guy with the cardboard heart on his chest there. He was an atheist when we arrived in Italy just in 2006. A few years later, he finally got saved. And now he and his sweet wife are serving the Lord faithfully in our church. So the other kind of churches that are in Italy other than Baptist churches are brethren churches. And they have a different church polity. They don't have pastors. They have just elders. Therefore, there's not as much an emphasis on expounding the scriptures. And that would be the major difference between the brethren churches and the Baptist churches that we're associated with in Italy. So I'm not sure if that answers your question. But all right. Yes, sir. Right. Well, the immigration from Islamic countries is incredible. Places like Albania and northern African countries are just, you know, those people are flooding into the country for a variety of reasons, mostly because of political unrest in northern Africa. That's obvious. We have a family, a Nigerian family in our church right now that came over on a raft from Libya. They're from Nigeria. They worked in Libya. They had to get out of their area of Nigeria because of Muslim persecution. They were working in Libya, and then when the war happened in Libya, they had to make their way to Italy. But they are of a Christian background. But the point is, they are one in, like a needle in a haystack when it comes to most of them are all Muslims. And therefore, there are every city that I know of has a Muslim community. They either have a mosque or they have, you know, a center where they get together in prayer building or whatever. And they are seeking to build a mosque in Grosseto. They have a large community and an imam in Grosseto. And so really that they've overtaken really in Europe a good bit. Now, we don't see any direct opposition from them right now because they are trying to get their rights recognized and trying to get their buildings built and trying to get established. So on a personal basis, we are not having very many problems. Now, I will say there's one occasion where we, Brother Pieri and Brother Childers and I were out one morning, and Brother Pieri approached a Muslim man, and he was speaking to him in Moroccan. Brother Larry speaks a little bit of Moroccan. And that man became very offended and started physically hitting Larry. And so Brother Childers got in between there. I wasn't actually aware that was taking place until it was over. And so on an individual basis, there could be some opposition, but we're not seeing anything in a large-scale way. But they are certainly trying to work their way into establishing themselves in the country. In Italy, they're not very well received because politically, Catholics are in charge of the city councils. And so there is the typical opposing views there when it comes politically and religiously minded there. So in Italy, we're not seeing a huge insurgence, but it is probably taking place a little more quietly. All right. Yes, sir? Okay. Right. Right. Okay. Certainly, I'm going to be updating on that. As far as the Catholicism goes, interestingly, we are in Tuscany. Italy has 20 different regions. Tuscany is the most communistic region. There was a tremendous amount of money flowing in during the Cold War time from Russia into the Livorno area particularly. And therefore, Tuscany tends to be the most opposed to Catholicism than the rest of the country. Now, we say that most people in Italy are still nominal Catholic. In Tuscany, there is a greater amount of atheism because of the political views. You got to understand that in Italy, the Roman Catholic Church is primarily a political influence and their political presence. And therefore, there has always been either support or opposition to what Catholicism is doing. Now, by and large, they're supported. But in Tuscany, there's more opposition. And so we battle mainly atheism in our area. So it's more, it's a different point of view. Now, you get out of Tuscany, and it is exactly what you would typically think of as traditional Roman Catholic Italian. The more south you go, the more traditional they become in their following of the church. The more north you go, they're more industrialized cities, less in need of religion, and so more indifferent. But particularly in Tuscany, it's just, we have a good life there. It's a beautiful country, and so people are not as concerned about religious matters there. Matter of fact, mostly in opposition. Now, don't get me wrong, there's still a strong Catholic presence, but compared to the other regions, it's far less. I'm going to, and then getting into the building, I'm going to say more about that. So I want to take Brother Smith's question. There was another question over here in just a minute. Yeah. I'm not sure how familiar they are with our existence, because we're really a small reality at this point. Our church is very small. But the more we get known, I would imagine we come across more opposition, mainly through bureaucracy. We have not seen any opposition directly and personally. However, there is a local priest that goes around and tries to influence some of the folks that we have tried to witness to. But we've not seen anything very very obvious for now, thankfully. But our main obstacle is just the bureaucratic system. And so we can't use just any facility the way we want to. You can't meet in just any place the way you want to, because they have everything zoned and locked down as far as the usage of things. And so that is really our biggest obstacle, as well as one other thing. And really the main problem that we have in Italy, and this is just to be perfectly honest, is there are too few missionaries, too few churches, too few Italian pastors, zero Italian pastors. That is the biggest problem in Italy. If we had 40 new missionaries come to Italy this year, that place would completely change. Now, what would we do with 40 new missionaries? My goodness, I wish we had that problem. I really do. That is the greatest thing. If I could communicate something to you today, is the greatest issue that we have in Italy is there are not enough missionaries. That's what we need. We need that more than anything else. Of course, there are other things that we deal with. But all of those are so small compared to the fact that there are no missionaries in the country. 12, 60 million people? a landmass twice the size of North Carolina, that with a population twice that of Canada, and about a dozen independent Baptist missionaries. Listen, I can go on and on for about 8 hours jumping up and down and hollering that point. That is what needs to be underlined. We need missionaries in Italy. And I may have time to say something about that, but in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus said that the harvest is plenteous. You look in Europe, Europe seems to be a cold region, a cold area. Hard to reach people because they're intellectually prepared. They are trained in their colleges and their universities that have existed for hundreds of years. But the main thing that Jesus said about the harvest field is that the laborers are few, not that the harvest field is not plenteous. And where we had a little group of 10, 15 people to talk to, well, some of them get saved. And then a little church is started, and then more are saved. And really, that's the way, that's the only way we know how to do it. One by one, and praise God, there's been that little church started there. There's about 45 on Sunday morning. We've always had 80 or more during our evangelistic meetings, a tremendous opportunity. And listen, some people do want to hear the truth. And when they hear it, boy, it's life-changing. Of course, there's a choice to make there, whether they accept it or not. But when people hear the preaching of the truth, boy, it makes a difference in their lives. So, and the next question right here, yes. Are we restricted from preaching the gospel? On paper, the Italian Constitution is one of the most beautiful documents I've ever read. On paper, the Constitution. The problem that we have complete religious liberty in the Italian Constitution. The problem we have is in local ordinances. So we are free to preach the gospel any opportunity we have. We are free to put gospel tracts in mailboxes. Praise the Lord. We do that a lot. What we're not free to do is use facilities for any reason. So that is our major obstacle right now. So going into the facility, that brings us right into this part of the update. You guys know that not only your participation in what we were trying to do in raising some funds for a building there, before we ever decided to send out a letter, by the way, there was a lot of prayer and thought that had gone into the idea of purchasing a building. We took about a year and a half to actually write a letter out and communicate to our supporting churches that we were planning on raising some funds. We began raising funds amongst ourselves in the church there. From January last year until October, we had doubled what we had in the bank. We started out with about 11,000 euro, which is about $15,000. We ended up doubling that in about a nine-year period just from within our church. Plus, Maranatha sent over $12,000 just last Christmas. When we sent out the letter mentioning that we would want to raise some support, we got some, raising for the building fund. We had about as much as what Maranatha gave in came in from other sources. So we raised about $25,000 toward that. Brother Larry Peary, I wish you had a chance to meet him. Many of you may know him. He's been here before, and he's supported by the church. He had two offerings come in for the building, one of $1,000 from his sending church and one from one anonymous donor and one of his supporting churches for $190,000. So we now have in the church's bank account in Italy 210,000 euro, okay, so to be able to buy a building. Now, I know that sounds like a lot of money, but if you were trying to buy property in Hawaii, that really wouldn't be a whole lot. Now, I'm not minimizing how much it is. We're thankful to have that much. But where is our problem now? The problem is we have located a two-acre piece of land with a 500-square-foot building that we would love to buy. It is half a mile outside the city limit on the main road in a perfect location. 2 acres of land. We want to buy that building. They are asking $280,000 just for that. For 2 acres and a 500-square-foot building, which is, you know, about the size, it's less than the area where these pews are, okay? A little bit bigger than this little wing right here. That's the building. We want to be able to purchase that and then expand, double it or triple it, okay? The problem is expanding your building. In Italy, you can't even close in a porch. A porch like what we have on the front of the church here, if you wanted to brick it up and put windows on that and the door, you can't do that. You can't. And if you've lived in Europe, you know what I'm talking about. So that's where we're at right now. July 1st, we're supposed to have the new zoning ordinances updated, and we're supposed to be able to determine whether we can build on that property. And if so, we're going to offer them probably $225 for that property and then seek to expand it with just pay as we go in expanding the building. So that's what we would like to do. That's what we were praying about. And so please do that. Our church right now is it's 6 meters by 7 meters. You know, that's about, you know, maybe 400 square feet on one level. It's just a storefront, a little storefront. And we have beneath us that much space with a spiral metal staircase going in there. So we need more space. We absolutely need more space. So please pray now that we would be able to locate the building that the Lord has for us. And we would get into it, and of course we'd be able to pay that off. We're not looking to get into any debt. We're not opposed maybe to a small loan, but we're certainly not looking into purchasing large buildings and paying for them little by little. We don't want to do that. We want to pay sort of as we go as much as possible. So, all right. Yes, sir. Yes. Okay. All right. Thank you. The economy in Italy is terrible right now. And the reason for that, okay, I'm not preaching politics here this morning, but the reason for that is because of the socialistic and the communistic government. There's so much corruption in the government, high, you know, spending, high taxation. The reason why that economy is in so much trouble is because taxes are so high and they're burdening small business owners. Small business owners are committing suicide on a weekly basis. They're on the news because the burden is too high and there are too many restrictions, union laws that you can't lay people off, you can't fire them except in extreme cases. Then you have to hire back the same people. You can't lay off a worker. So that causes a stifling in the economy, okay? And if you have a government job, then you are probably have a low income or medium income, but it's stable, okay? If you are a business owner, like a restaurant owner or a repairman or something like that, boy, you struggle to get just to survive in Italy. So the situation economically in Italy, although Tuscany is a very beautiful area, a very expensive area, just regular people, it's hard to survive financially. It is similar to what you guys are facing here, but just far worse, far worse. Now, as far as our concern, our financial support, we had no intention on raising any support while we were here. While we were here, we had to contact the board, as policy states, to make sure that our budget is adequate, and they are saying that we are now a few hundred dollars under budget. However, we have not felt that personally in our daily life. We felt that we have gone to Italy adequately supported, and we're so thankful for Maranatha Baptist Church's support over the years and all of our other supporting churches. We are not necessarily seeking more support. However, according to the mission board, we should be raising a few more $100 support in order to be at 100%. So certainly it would hurt us if we lost any. But praise the Lord, we've not lost. We only lost one church in 7 years in the field, and we lost that church in the very first year, and it was an unusual situation in the church. Well, I'm saying that to the testimony of the Lord. Most missionaries lose many churches yearly. Praise God, we've not lost one except for that one exception. So we're just so thankful for God's provision for us over the years. Amen. All right, yes, sir. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Well, in Italy, of course, we have a social medicine setup. And as long as everything's good, if you're healthy, boy, that is terrific, because you don't have to pay for insurance, and that's wonderful. You pay very little for prescription drugs. That's great. The problem is, and if you need to go to the doctor, you got a cold, you got a bronchitis, or you got something. Well, they'll take care of it. They'll prescribe you antibiotics, and all that's very inexpensive. Okay, so on a superficial level, it works great because you don't have to pay a lot into it. Of course, you are paying through your taxes. There's no free medical in Italy for sure. You are paid through your taxes. Here's where the problem comes, is when you have a serious issue. And if you have a serious issue, if it is in a medical emergency, then you go to the emergency room and they will care for you, and then you will either be admitted to a hospital and they will do whatever it takes to take care of you. Or if it's not a medical emergency, it means you're not you're not dying in that moment, and you're just ailed with something that may be serious but not immediate. Well, then you're put on a waiting list. And for example, Jenny waited 9 months for an MRI. We could have paid out of our pocket and get in within a few days. The same machines, same doctors, same facilities. We pay them out of pocket. We get right in. Otherwise, it's 9 months for an MRI. So that is exactly what happened to us in Grosseto. So for our kids, vaccinations, doctor's appointments, antibiotics, those kinds of things, not a big deal. But when it comes to serious things, and they that don't need a physician, they don't need to be healed. But when you need to be healed, that's when the concern comes. Now, we are thankful. We've always been cared for. Jenny has gotten medical attention. However, let me just say this, okay? And I'm going to take this medical question and give you a quick update on Jenny. And I know most of you have heard this. This August would have marked 5 years of Jenny having one continual headache for 5 years, okay? We're not talking about our marriage. We've been married 12 years, okay? But the headache is 5 years this August, okay? If you put your finger in the back of your head like that and you just push hard, that's the pain that she's had for 5 straight years. We saw our doctor, we saw chiropractors, we saw neurologists, we got MRIs done, x-rays, other things. We saw headache specialists in Florence, more neurologists. They would push medicines our way, and with terrible side effects. And so we just finally decided, we're going to get medical attention in the States. We came here. Of course, you guys have been praying for Jenny since she got the headaches 5 years ago. And we came here. She saw her regular doctor. Her doctor said, "Hey, I want to see if I can get you into a neurologist this week." This just happened this past week. They were able to work Jenny in to the neurologist right here across the street from the hospital. And the doctor saw her, and I'm going to say something about this in the next hour. The doctor gave her his exam there, and he immediately said, "I know what your problem is, and I can fix it. I know what we can do to fix it." And so he gave her an injection to block the pain in one nerve, and now her headache is gone, okay, after 5 years. And the reason why I share that with you is because you have been faithfully praying for Jenny. And we're so thankful. I'm so thankful. I don't know if there's anyone more thankful than Jenny for what God has done. Brother Stevens prayed with us, with me, about this afterward, and he acknowledged God's miraculous hand in that, and we're just so thankful that God chose to use this little humble place, Shelby, North Carolina. How many great things has God done through this little town in our lives? What a wonderful thing, and we're just so thankful to be here and to be able to share with you. We're leaving tomorrow to go on 2 more weeks of meetings. We're going to come back the 15th, and be here for 2 more weeks. And we want to spend time with you guys. You guys have invested so much in us. We want to invest in you guys. What time do we got to be done? 45. 2 minutes. I want to say something about sending churches and supporting churches. William Carey, when he got sent over to India with John Thomas. And they sent him over to India in 1793, okay? The men of the Mission Society that had been formed there in England basically pledged to him that they would hold the ropes. And the idea there was that he was going into a mine, an unexplored mine, searching for these precious gems, which are the souls of men. And they promised and pledged to hold the ropes while he went down into that mine. And that is something very important. Listen, in Acts chapter 14, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas come back to their sending church at the end of their missionary endeavors, and they planted churches. That was their goal. And then they came back from whence they had been sent out, and they reported all the things that God had done with them. Listen, the role that the supporting church and the sending church plays cannot be minimized. It is so important. And we want you guys to know that your participation in the church plant in Italy has been just direct. It's been very close. It's been so important. We want you to understand that the fruit gained in that ministry there is fruit abounding to your account. In 1 Samuel 30, verse 24, David comes back from a battle in Ziklag. The men that had conquered there with him in the battle came back with the spoils. Half of the army had remained with the stuff, guarding their equipment and their families. And the warriors that had won in the battle were not willing to share in the spoils with those that had stayed by the stuff. Well, David made a proclamation there in Israel that those that had gone in the battle were to get the same amount as those that had stayed by the stuff and protected their families and the equipment. And so you have just as much. There's a spiritual connection there. Certainly, Philippians chapter 4 clearly states that there is a reward that goes to you because you're staying by the stuff. Now, let me challenge you there. You have to stay by the stuff, though. There is a job here. You know how devastating it would be for us to come back from the field and realize, hey, this church is no longer in existence, or this church has abandoned its responsibilities, or this church has, in some way not either held the ropes or not stayed by the stuff, protected what your responsibility was here. So we are, our hearts are connected to this church, and you are connected to our ministry there in Italy. So anyway, we want to share that with you guys. And the next hour, I'm going to be speaking on another subject, but certainly over the next several weeks, we want to have time to be able to share with you. And I hope we can be a blessing to you guys. You've been such a blessing to us over the last 8 or 9 years now. And so we're so thankful. It goes farther back than that because I came here in 97. So anyway, let's close in prayer. Lord, I'm thankful this morning to you for the privilege of being able to be back here in this church, Lord, of yours, and the prayers and the service and all that has taken place over the last 15 years that I've been associated with this church, 16 years. Lord, I'm just thankful for what you have done here and in Italy. God, please help us to stay faithful, Lord, to you. And we look forward to your coming. And we ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.